fighting for America.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Fighting for Idaho.
Who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Fighting for you.
The pipeline is the way that they carry the product from the wells.
I know what a pipeline is, but okay.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. And coming up, big props to one of our great activists that we feel we've been with him every step of the way and doing what a lot of us should be doing. And coming up, one of our guests that does this each and every day. And we're talking about making a difference. If you haven't had a chance to check out the paper today, our friend Greg Pruitt, talking about his constitutional carry above the fold, upper right-hand corner. Bill would okay concealed carry without permit for guns on Idaho campuses. Enhanced licenses would still be required. But Democrats wonder about training. And it's interesting. It's a story that goes back to Greg and his friends, as we've talked about, being outside Boise Gun Company and putting together petitions. And if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. And we see Greg doing that, becoming a lobbyist and going up there and meeting before all the representatives. Joining us now is my man Ripley, who I'm a little upset with because he works so hard, and I didn't know what he was up to until I heard his voice yesterday. David Ripley joining us from Idaho Chooses Life. And do you want to know why I'm upset with you?
Yes, sir.
You know, because
how are you, by the way?
I've got issues. I've got issues.
Well, several of us know that, but, you know, we don't really talk about it on air.
You know, you do such a great job, and you work so hard for your beliefs and standing up for the unborn, that here you have this hearing yesterday, and you're not even pitching being on the show talking about it. And I go, I know that voice. I go, that's David Ripley. I go, Ray, see if we can get David on tomorrow and try and play catch up with him. That's why I've got issues with you.
Well, I apologize for that. You know,
No.
Yesterday was the first step in the long legislative process. We got the bill printed, which means the committee has agreed to hear the debate on its merits and to consider whether or not to pass it along to the full House. And if anytime you write abortion law, it is so complex. You know, dealing with lawyers-a-rama, in court cases and all that. And so we weren't 100% sure we were going to be able to get the final version of the bill ready in time for that hearing. But praise the Lord, we did. So I apologize for not giving you, advance.
You're too busy doing your job. So let's talk a little bit about the testimony yesterday. We heard a little of it from the news, but we always like to get the total side of the story. So what was this bill proposed and it got out of committee? What's next? Give us the background, please.
Well, Idaho law has been, on abortion law, that we've been trying to chase Roe v. Wade, since the ruling. And so the practice in the industry has largely been surgical abortions, where you actually go in and physically end the baby's life and remove it. In 2000, at the end of the Clinton administration, they approved the use of RU-46. They made that legal in the United States. But the industry is, was fairly slow to actually begin using it. But we've seen in the last several years, they've actually begun to put a big priority on trying to dispose of as many children and women as possible through through chemical abortions. So actually the proportion of, we've seen like about a 477% increase in the use of RU-46 in the state of Idaho over the last, 6-7 years. So we are in catch-up mode. Idaho law needs to address a whole slew of issues around the use of chemicals to kill preborn children. This legislation is pretty modest. and it basically requires that a doctor deal with the woman or girl physically. Like, they actually have to do an in-person examination of the woman. They have to do an in-person conversation with the girl about her options and the risks. And we require that they do what they can do to get that woman or girl to come back in after the abortion in order to make sure that she's not bleeding or suffering from an infection, which is fairly common with the use of these drugs.
David Ripley joining us from Idaho Chooses Life here at 580KIDO. How confident are you that this bill will proceed? We've had similar measures in the past, and unfortunately you've had divisions within the life community that have derailed these things.
Well, that's part of the politics of this, that, you know, we've been able to come together. We are partnered with Right to Life of Idaho in getting this legislation in front of the legislature. And so I'm pretty hopeful that we're going to get it done.
Well, let's talk about the session itself and any other Right to Life proposals you might have there.
Well, there are some elements of this legislation that we had to let go in order to get this bill ready, but I'm not ready to abandon the fight. You know, the biggest issue that we had coming into the home stretch of this bill was whether or not we could force Planned Parenthood to abide by the FDA regulations with respect to how that drug is used. It may be a big surprise to your listeners to learn that Planned Parenthood operates outside of the Food and Drug Administration laws and protocols for RU-46, because they're kind of like a law unto themselves. And unfortunately, we've got a number of courts around the country that back them up in that play. And so,
How can they get away with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And part of it is the courts. There are, in fact, right now, the reason we're specifically hung up. Arizona passed a law that said, you know, if you're going to give out this drug, you have to follow the FDA regulations. That means things like you can't use the drug past 49 days in a pregnancy. You have to do that in person. There has to be an examination. One of the things about the drug that's, people don't really understand is that you have to determine where that baby is located. If that baby is located in the fallopian tube, it's called an ectopic pregnancy, and you take this drug, you could actually kill the woman because that baby dying in the fallopian tube is a life-threatening situation for the woman. And I don't know of any medical practice that can determine via a webcam or over the telephone where that baby is located. It requires actual, hands-on treatment of women and girls before that drug is dispensed. Anyway, so Arizona passed a law saying that Planned Parenthood had to follow the FDA rules. Planned Parenthood sued, saying that it was unconstitutional to require them to follow the FDA rules because their experience with the drug was much superior to the FDA's information. And so it's being litigated right now, and we will see. They've tried that in other circuits and been denied. So in the Fifth Circuit and the Sixth Circuit, they've been compelled to follow the law. But we are in the Ninth Circuit, so we shall see.
Well, everybody loves the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, it is the oddest duck of them all. And so Planned Parenthood has tremendous influence in the Ninth Circuit. And so while that case is going on, we had to yield some ground on that question. But I intend to continue to dog that and see if we can get those restrictions put in place. But for today, what we're trying to do is to make sure that, Planned Parenthood wants to move into an era called, it goes by various terms, telemed abortions or webcam abortions, where they have an employee talk to a woman or girl over the internet to prescribe the drugs. And, they ask her a few questions, and then they They don't have to deal with her, and they don't have to, you know, hassle with the follow-up. They can remotely dispense the drugs. Apparently, they have actual desks where they can remote control the drawer that opens it up, you know, from Boise or wherever, and provide them with the drugs there, you know, as long as their credit card clears, I guess. And it's, you know, it's just appalling to me that a woman who is dealing with the most important decision of her life, probably, is being, you know, treated like cattle and with such potential risks associated with the drug. I mean, the FDA said that it's almost certain every woman using this drug is going to have some reaction to it. And women have actually died from this drug. Hemorrhaging is a problem. Infection is a problem. And I think women and girls deserve better, and they deserve some basic protections.
David Ripley with us here at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let me hit you with this from Idaho Chooses Life. What's the opposition saying to you, and do you expect a lot of pressure from the other side, as we've seen in the past when we've had pro-life legislation go before the legislature?
Well, I was kind of interested yesterday. You know, we came in, we did the print hearing presentation. The committee voted to consider the bill. That's as far as we've gotten. And so the rest of the day I was getting media calls. Apparently Planned Parenthood's initial response was they're pretty upset because I was using the term chemical abortion. They want us to all use the word medication abortion because medication sounds so much more pleasant. You know, you can treat a cough with cough syrup, and you can, you know, take an aspirin for a headache. Medication is a good thing, right? And so they want to normalize abortion to the extent that they can. They want to make it a positive-sounding thing, and they are taking great offense to my terminology. But the truth is, it's not, that baby is not a disease, and it's not a headache, and it's not cancer, it's not any form of malady. It's a person. And I think we need to be, well, you know, I'm involved with the press right now trying to, you know, fight over this terminology because, generally speaking, they accommodate the abortion industry to help sell us on, you know, the positive aspects of abortion. So,
well, that, and you have some members of the National Republican Party going along with it as well, not getting as tough as they have in the past because they have members of the caucus that are females that don't want to go there.
Yeah. Well, the fact is it takes some courage to stand up for, you know, what basic truth. I mean, and so, you know, Planned Parenthood is, you know, the left is nothing if they are not masters of propaganda. And, you know, 2 years ago they came up with the terminology medical abortion. This year they've coined the term medication abortion. They probably did a focus group on it, figured out that it sounded much more pleasant and helped to sell the deaths that they're peddling. So,
David Ripley with us. David, can you hang on for a minute?
Yes, sir.
More coming up from Idaho Chooses Life. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
My understanding is that the FDA has many rules governing the way prescriptions should be used, and most doctors do not follow those, in particular for pediatrics. And if the state of Idaho were to follow every FDA guideline, I'm not sure we would have a good standard of care in our state.
Wow. Representative Winthrow there saying that we shouldn't follow the FDA guidelines. From the hearing yesterday with David Ripley from Idaho Chooses Life. How about that, David Ripley? So, you know, we wouldn't get anything done if we followed the procedures as dictated for our public safety by our government.
It is kind of amazing. I mean, you know, the fact is the FDA is the congressionally authorized agency tasked with figuring out what drugs are safe, what drugs are effective, and what restrictions to place on those drugs. And the Democrats in Idaho apparently feel like it's more important to accommodate Planned Parenthood than it is to protect the health and safety of women.
Amazing when you what went on in your mind when she said that to you?
Well, I kept pointing out to her that the bill did not address the FDA standards per se, but she was prepped, I think, by Planned Parenthood to grill me on that question. So she just kept asking me, I think, three different times. You know, and the fact is, if Planned Parenthood thinks that they have a better way of dealing with that drug, they ought to apply to the FDA and ask for, you know, the legal authority to use the drugs differently. But, you know, the arrogance of that industry is really pretty breathtaking.
Well, it does make you wonder where our society's going. And let's talk a little bit that on a grander scale. How do you see the pro-life movement resonating within national Republicans?
Well, I was discouraged by, you know, our guest speaker at the Christmas dinner was Trent Franks from Arizona.
Yes.
And he was the sponsor of the fetal pain legislation that was teed up, ready to go. And I should also mention that Senator Crapo has agreed to be a co-sponsor of that Franks legislation. And the fact that it got stalled out the way that it has is unsettling. I don't think it's a done deal. I mean, I think there's still hope to see that bill come back up, but I suspect there's going to be some tweaking of the language, and hopefully we will see it yet this spring.
Again, you wonder about the changing dynamic here. David Ripley with us here at 580KIDO. Your thoughts on the legislative session, considering we had such contentious primaries within the Republican Party and a semi-competitive election in the general last November?
Well, I think there are going to, you know, I think there are going to be some things done that are probably going to upset conservatives. That's my guess. I think we got a good shot. I mean, some of the new people coming in are actually tremendous people. I'm encouraged by Lori Den Hartog, for example, the new state senator from you know, the Meridian area, piece of Boise. She's a co-sponsor of our legislation, and you know, she's got a great mind and some real talent to bring to the legislature.
You think we're going to see any movement on taxes this season?
Well, it's starting to smell like something will happen with respect to the gas tax.
Well, funny, if we needed the gas, well, they better do it soon before gas prices go up.
Well, I think there's some idea that perhaps they can take advantage of the, you know, price of gas right now and sneak something through. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not paying. I'm sort of focused on my own part of the bailiwick. But it does look like something. There's at least going to be a fight over it. I think that's fair to say.
David Ripley, where does your bailiwick go from here?
Well, we're gonna move this bill. I think next week we should be looking at a hearing. You know, it's a great committee, and I just don't think Planned Parenthood is going to be very effective at persuading legislators that we ought not to protect women.
What will be the tenor of the meeting, you think, of the hearing?
Well, I think Planned Parenthood is going to be pretty intense about this because they have plans to do telemed abortions in the state of Idaho. And apparently we're going to be screwing with their business plan pretty badly. So, you know, there's money and there's convenience involved, and I expect them to put up quite a fight. But at the end of the day, I think we've got the votes to get this done.
And basically your bill says that if a woman wants to have an abortion, she has to see a doctor in person.
Right. He has to be able to examine her and counsel her in person. I mean, the law... There's actually a law already. I mean, there's an informed consent statute that requires, you know, direct personal counseling so the woman understands, and there's a 24-hour waiting period associated with that. And so we're just sort of making it clear that there are no loopholes to this deal. We want the woman to actually see a real person and have a real conversation before she decides to do this.
Right. And you have people actually resisting that and trying to say we don't need to follow the FDA standards, which is beyond words.
Pretty bizarre. I mean, women have actually died from misusing those drugs.
David Ripley, Idaho Chooses Life. He continues on. Thank you for your time, sir, and your efforts. And hey, I know you're busy, but keep us informed of your adventures, would you?
I shall be better.
All right. God bless, sir.
Thank you.
Our great friend David Ripley. It is 6:30. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
We are the Rebel Alliance getting together, bucking the trend.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
You got a great show. I sure appreciate it.
Good morning, Kevin. You're doing fantastic. Gosh, you are really, I think, top.
There's a lot of people out here appreciate your show and appreciate what you do, and over and out. And four.
Let's get it started.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You talk about carrying firearms without a permit. So that would mean that if you carried, if this passed and you could carry a concealed weapon, you do not have to have any type of training on the use of the firearm at all. Is that correct?
Mr. Pruitt, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Smith, thank you for the question. You will find that most gun owners in the state of Idaho are very responsible, especially those who carry. Technically, yes, they would not have to go through any sort of formal training. The real response to that is who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves. And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Our great friend Greg Pruitt, front page of the paper today, right-hand column above the fold, moving constitutional carry into the mainstream. There'll be a hearing, there'll be a debate, and people are now picking up this story. And on a personal note, we're also very proud of Greg, who has committed himself, not only in words, but in deeds, to making this a reality. As many of you know, Greg lost his job with the military. He's devoted this year to making constitutional carry a reality. And in the era where we have so many of these politicians that promise actual change, or this time we mean it, we're going to hold government accountable, we have real-life role models like Greg Pruitt, who has a wonderful family, who has a life, and loves freedom and the Second Amendment so much that what started as a grassroots effort, even before they formed the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, he and some buddies outside Boise Gun Company, getting people to sign up to get constitutional carry a reality. And his famous march last year, and another one this year, and his public town hall meetings with us. Here you have Greg Pruitt yesterday moving that bill from the print version to a hearing and possibly the entire House. Has it been an easy move for Greg? No. He's been told to be a good boy. He's been told that this time the politicians are behind him. And he persevered. He continued on. And here we have Representative Smith, who I don't know if she's coherent or not, questioning him about law-abiding citizens. I just, you know, however far this story goes, I just would like to give props to Greg Pruitt and the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance for really, really understanding the idea of self-governance, understanding the idea that if you want something done, you have to do it yourself, and going out there and making that bill a reality. Will our elected officials follow Greg's standard, or will they let us down? To be continued, joining us now, Rachel Sutherland of Fox News Radio. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's been a while. What have you been up to? Anything good?
I think I talked to you guys yesterday, right?
Nope, that was somebody else. But
oh, okay. Well,
you know, we all sound the same, these radio people.
No, you're very special.
Oh, bless your heart. Now I'm blushing.
I'm digging a hole, aren't I?
It's okay. So let's talk a little bit about ISIS and certainly the congressional reaction to what happened in Syria and Jordan.
Well, you know, this is something with this burning of the Jordanian pilot that has just inflamed the world. And now we have the president, the White House, getting ready to send over their plan for reauthorizing military force against ISIS. Now, this would go probably beyond arming the Syrian rebels, which we've already really started to do, and training them to, you know, to fight ISIS for us. So, but they're being pretty tight-lipped on the details of the proposal. They are not saying, well, which geographical areas will this cover? How long would that authorization last? And does it involve boots on the ground? And so right now, it's unclear, you know, what kind of prospects it faces in Congress.
Not only that, but you have the allies in the region that have been very disappointed in our commitment. You've got the United Arab Emirates and others saying they're not going to fly their planes because they have female pilots. They mm-hmm. don't. We don't have the lack of search and rescue people, so if their pilots get shot down. So, you know, how does the administration, along with Congress, ease those fears? I'm sure that was brought up and continues to be an issue.
Oh, and definitely. There are fears all around the world about this group. But one thing about the situation with more countries becoming involved, you definitely have more pressure on ISIS. You even have the king of Saudi Arabia saying that you don't stand for Islam and they're coming after you. So ISIS, I don't know, really has much of a strategy if they realize they're upsetting everybody, that everybody, like the world is just going to come crashing down on them.
That, and you have a lot of folks in Congress, echoed by people here in Idaho, that believe that the rest of the world seems to be more outraged than what we hear out of the White House.
Yeah, they do appear to be. At least it feels like sometimes when you're listening to the president that there's not enough outrage. I mean, there's definitely been that discussion before. And if you'll remember, Vice President Joe Biden gave that fiery speech in chasing these people to the gates of hell, you know, and so on. And that seemed to be fiery. But President Obama does appear more clinical in his approach. And I don't know how that's going over with people.
Well, you go back to the idea of force authorization, Rachel, and the idea of how much that'll cost. I mean, these things aren't free.
Oh, right, exactly. Oh, I can't even imagine how much this is going to cost. But when you're talking about, okay, do you pay for something like free college education, community college education, or do you spend money to defeat and eradicate the most evil we've seen ever, maybe, in the history of the world? I mean, I don't know. I can't really say, but smarter people than I could.
Well, and hopefully the smarter people than you, as few of them as they are, we hope they're in Congress.
Right, exactly. But I don't know about that. Having watched them, I'm not so sure.
Well, Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio here at 580 KIDO. So besides this, anything else brewing in Congress, you know, as they get ready to head out for the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a confirmation hearing for Ashton Carter, who to be the next defense secretary, you know, this week, that they've been working on that. I don't know. I don't think there'll be a vote this week on that. Senator John McCain did say he wanted to move it out of committee. So they've been working on that. And, of course, this immigration showdown coming up and Keystone Pipeline, all that's still hanging around. So they have a lot to do. So we'll be watching.
Rachel, you take care. Thank you, ma'am. All right. You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you. I love it when they – never mind. All right. Let's get to some issues here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. The president yesterday declared that ISIS is the equivalent of what happened with the Christians in the Crusades, basically saying in a speech, quote-unquote, the followers of Islam hijack religion for their own murderous ends, as well as suggesting to Christians that unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ in our home country. Slavery and Jim Crow were often justified in the name of Christ. Forget somebody's political background. Does this guy love America? Is this guy an American? Is he a Christian that he can say that slavery was justified in the name of Christ? Okay, name it. Name where slavery was justified in the name of Christ. Name where Jim Crow was justified in the name of Christ. As we said to Rachel Sutherland, it's amazing that we have outrage from all of our leaders except our own. Let's take a listen to how the networks did not cover this issue. By the way, it was at the National Day of Prayer last night, or yesterday.
In the annual National Prayer Breakfast, a groundbreaking moment today, President Obama and His Holiness the Dalai Lama in public together for the first time. President Obama calling him, quote, a good friend.
Former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency again criticized the president for not calling out Islamic extremism directly.
The Arab leaders are, they will call it like it is. So why is it that the United States has such a difficult problem? I mean,
well, do you think the president has a difficult problem?
I do. I think he does. I mean, I just think that, you know, call it like it is. I mean, let's get off the dime and just call it like it is.
Which is,
Islamic extremism.
While at the prayer breakfast, the president compared attacks by Islamic militants to the Christian Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, and American segregation.
And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
So we have the President of the United States saying that the ISIS beheadings, the burning of a pilot alive, is the same thing as what happened with slavery, Jim Crow, the Crusades. Is he the defense attorney for ISIS? Listen more closely to this clip without the news in it here.
Humanity's been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Why not just say, we have no moral standing, we're an inferior species, we've stolen everything? This is the President of the United States. Has there ever been any more elected official that has been so anti-American? And you're saying he's not anti-American? Listen to these comments about slavery.
In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
Gotta love it. Pat with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Pat.
Well, good morning. I wouldn't exactly call that a prayer breakfast. I think what we heard yesterday was spoken like a true Muslim. He is not on the side of the U.S. None of that was true. And it reminds me, I have a great T-shirt that I bought in Mark Twain country. It says, better to keep one's mouth shut and be thought stupid than reopen it and remove all doubt. And I think it's just absolutely ridiculous. This guy, I don't consider him a legitimate president anyhow. Never have. But if anybody is kidding themselves to think that he is actually on the side of the U.S., they need to go back and take a look at their thinking, because this is stupid.
I would agree with you, but can you believe that he insults Christians and then insults America, and he's our leader? I mean, the rest of the world has to be looking at him and saying he hates his own country.
Well, not only that, but that there are a heck of a lot of people who have never heard of the Crusades, you know, go out and do some street walking and ask people about it. They've never heard of the Crusades. They don't know anything. They think everything that comes out of Obama's mouth is golden. The national news won't call him on it. And it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, the guy's stupid to start with. And then he is absolutely not on the side of the United States. And when he talks about his home country, he's talking about Kenya. So I don't buy into any of this baloney. I beat myself up for even listening to it, because whenever I don't listen to the State of the Union or any of the rest of it, I don't want to hear him.
Pat, thank you for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. To Dave in Nampa with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. I'd like for the president to name another nation on the face of this earth, spill hundreds of thousands of lives, the blood of those lives, in order to free a slave, even though there was, in some of the states, just as many black slave owners as if it was white slaveholders. I don't know where this guy's coming from, and I don't know how he got in here. And I'd like to know what I can do about it. Because sometimes I feel helpless, but he's embarrassed. But so we've got to do something different. The whole bunch needs flushed, I think.
Dave, what can we do? Dave, thank you for the call. What can we do? Well, we can make sure that none of his legislation gets through. We can hold him accountable because no one else will. Linda in Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Listening to Mr. Obama's comments, number one, when he comes on the TV, I change the channel. This man,
he doesn't know what he's doing.
He has absolutely no clue of what he should be doing. We are going to be less.
I know, Linda. Your pregnant pauses are killing me, honey. I got to run. Thank you for the call, though. Time for traffic now.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Yes, I guess that's what we could do. We could pray. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Before we get to Fox News, let's take another look.